RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Federated farmers are welcoming the government's announcement that the fatally flawed Heiwaka Ekenoa partnership will be disestablished immediately. This is what the Federated Farmers President Wayne Langford is quoted as saying. The previous government were too focused on pricing farmers, driving blindly towards unachievable political, unscientific methane reduction targets. Others have been commenting. Here's a quote from RNZ and Chloe Schwabrick. New Zealand risks joining the camp of climate denialists with a massive bill for emissions at the international level. That's a quote from Chloe Schwabrick. We wanted to find out more about this. So Mark Hooper, Federated Farmers Board member, joins us here at RCR. Hi, Mark. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, yeah, great. Thanks for having me. Nice to be here. I'm presently at Field Days. So a little bit of background noise. A lot of people in today, and it's all very active and lots of action here. So great to be able to join you.
Okay, it must be great sort of gathering with your kin, so to speak. The farmer's big week out, right?
Yeah, it is very much like that. It's a great opportunity to connect with people, and you know, often for exhibitors, it's more of a chance perhaps to connect with their customers around the country. And so it's a great opportunity also for various presentations and, of course, always for politicians to get along and do their little part as well.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So I hope you enjoy that visit that you're on at the moment at Field Days. All right. So I imagine you're feeling quite happy about the latest developments I just described.
Yes. I think overall, you know, these were pre-election promises that the government made, and the two changes that were announced in terms of disestablishing Heiwaka Ekenoa formally, and removing the legislative requirement for agriculture to enter the ETS as of the 1st of January 2025. They were both things that effectively, what this change announces is that they're tidying up loose ends, really, because neither of those things were operating. So in that sense, no change really, but it's good that the government has followed through and tidied up these issues from a legislative perspective.
What would it have cost farmers, your average farmer, if we continued down now what is the previous road? How would that affected you guys?
Yeah. Okay. So this is the big issue, I guess. And so just to backtrack a little bit, just so that listeners understand, what happened back in 2019, the government introduced the Zero Carbon Bill, which became the Zero Carbon Act 2020, or the amendment to the Climate Change Response Act, and that introduced legislative gross emission reduction targets for methane. And these targets were 10% by 2030 and 24 to 47% by 2050. And alongside that, we had what was called a split gas approach. So we also had a net zero target by 2050 for long-lived gases, for CO2. And what was introduced simultaneously was an opportunity for the agricultural emissions, biogenic methane, to be priced separately from the ETS. And that was what became known as Heiwaka Ekenoa. It was an alternative pricing mechanism by which farmers would have paid for their emissions as opposed to being put straight into the ETS. And the ETS is a very blunt instrument. It didn't work well for biogenic methane because it's a short-lived gas versus a long-lived gas. Lots of different reasons why it wouldn't work. So there was good motivation, I guess, at the time to price emissions, agricultural emissions, separately through this partnership called Heiwaka Ekenoa. Now, in the end, though, the reason that it fell over was because of the question that you just asked. The cost was going to be too great in order to achieve those legislative reduction targets. And the cost from the government's own modelling was that it would have was not so much what it cost per individual farm, but it was what it would have cost us from a productivity perspective. And that productivity perspective was, estimated that it could have a negative impact of up to 20% of our sheep and beef productivity and around 5% of our dairy farming productivity. So that's the sort of magnitude of loss that would have been required to achieve the legislative targets. And so in the end, that just became unpalatable for the sector, and the government of the day lost political capital and the whole thing fell over. And here we are today.
Do you buy the whole methane argument? We've had plenty of people on RCR, experts, that's that word, who want to be kind, who poo-poo it completely. So are you buying into methane emissions as a problem?
Yeah, okay. So the other thing that the government has done is that, and this was something that Federated Farmers have been pushing for a while. We launched it as part of our general election platform back this time last year in the 2023 field days, a bunch of policy changes that we want to see. And one of those was a review of the methane reduction targets. And the reason for that is because the targets that were set in legislation, regardless of what your view on methane was or not, went above and beyond a what we would call a warming equivalent target. So net zero is a theoretical position whereby you're at a warming neutral position, whereas the gross emissions reductions targets for methane went above and beyond that. And so what we've asked for is that at the very least, regardless of what your view is for methane, we should have an equivalent warming target for methane. So the government has actioned that as well. They're currently working on putting together an independent scientific panel to determine what a warming equivalent target is for methane. And at the very least, that brings us back to a much more achievable, realistic target. And you can make all sorts of arguments beyond that as to whether, methane needs to reduce at all or whether it's, a relevant gas or whatever. But the fact is that we're dealing with a legislative environment, and we've got to look at how we can have an impact on that legislative environment to get a situation that's tenable for the sector and for our country's productivity and indeed profitability going forward.
Yeah, but if it's just for virtue signalling, then it's all a bit of a pantomime.
Yeah, okay, So what we're talking about here is, of course, the the government and the legislative targets. What we've got to understand is that simultaneously, while all of that was happening since 2019, when all this was originally introduced, is that the industry itself has not stood still. So we've got a whole lot of things have been happening, and around what are called Scope 3 emissions, and we've got other targets, which gets a little bit confusing because they're what we call intensity targets, which represent the efficiency, the carbon footprint per kilogram of milk solids or per kg of beef, that sort of thing. And so there's a lot of commercial activity happening in that space. And if that's what consumers are prepared to pay for, then the industry is working towards achieving those goals. And so it's chipping away at it. It's making progress. Emissions are decreasing incrementally over time. There's lots of opportunity with our animal breeding programs, for example, to incrementally reduce emissions over time. And if that's aligning with what consumers want and what they're prepared to pay for, then that's fine. That's the practical reality of it all. The problem is that incremental increase that we're seeing happening within the primary sector doesn't align with the gross reduction targets that we have in the legislation. And and that's where we've got a difference of reality, I suppose you'd say, between what's actually practically achievable versus what's idealistic.
Yeah, because I'm looking at some of the technological sort of efforts that stem from this, and our listeners won't be happy with a methane vaccine. You've mentioned breeding lower emissions cattle, but should we be doing that and advancing methane and nitrous oxide inhibitors? We're playing around with nature a bit, aren't we?
Yeah, look, we are. And I can understand that, you know, listeners might have some concerns around that. And certainly we would have also, in the sense that there's a risk there, I guess, of investing a lot of money, a lot of shareholder and industry money into trying to solve, you know, what might not be a significant problem. And but that is happening, and there's also challenges with that, though. That will come back to a commercial reality. We've got to find a technology that works within a pasture-based outside grazing kind of system for New Zealand, and that's quite challenging. And also farmers would end up having to make a commercial decision there. If that's new technology, it would come at a cost. And so they would have to decide whether there's a benefit there. So, you know, there's lots of checks and balances just by way of commercial reality in that process. I think, however, if you look at the gains that can be achieved through particularly just good standard practice animal breeding, improvements in our understanding of animal genetics, and this is nothing to do with genetic editing or anything. It's what we do ordinarily. We can focus on how well we manage our stock in terms of the in-calf rates, the lambing percentages and things that we get. If we do those basic farm management practices well, we are making incremental gains in emissions reductions. And that's what we would argue is what is required. And we can meet the demands of consumers on an ongoing basis by making those small incremental gains. We don't need an additional legislative pricing mechanism in order to be able to achieve that. That comes at a cost to us as a nation. It comes at a cost of productivity. That productivity would be lost offshore. We have emissions leakage, and we're theoretically no better off.
Okay, you heard what I said, or the quote from Chloe Schwabrick. I see Greenpeace are calling farmers' recommendations for pricing agricultural emissions an absolute lemon. What do you say to those critics?
Yeah, so this is the difference, I guess, between a practical commercial reality and an ideology. And I guess our response to that would be is that as an industry, We are already addressing this problem. We're meeting the demands and expectations of consumers by continuing to focus good breeding practices, and we continue to lead the world in terms of having the lowest emissions footprint product. And I think they would acknowledge that. And obviously, they're arguing that we should go harder and faster, and that we need legislative targets in order to achieve that. But again, the practicality of that doesn't stack up. That's what leads to emissions leakage. If you try and go faster than what's practical at a realistic farm management level, you'll end up reducing productivity in New Zealand. That productivity goes to a less efficient producer offshore, and you've not actually addressed the problem of emissions at all.
Yeah. So in place of he waka eka noa, and I looked it up, Mark, and it means we're all in this together, or if you look at Google Translate, we're in the car together. So I don't know which one is the actual one. But in place of that, there's a new pasture group being set up. You might have just touched on that before, I don't know, but maybe explain how that will work.
Yeah, so I think here what it means that we're all in the waka together, actually.
Oh, I missed that out. Yeah, okay. Well, Google thinks the waka's a car.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so I mean, it was that represented, I guess, in that it was supposed to be an industry government partnership, and that we were all in it together in terms of identifying and solving a problem, and that was that was good up to a point. But as I say, the fundamental problem is that the legislative targets that we've got are more based around ideology than a warming target. They're high and they cause problems in terms of the loss of productivity for a country and as a sector. And so that's why it imploded, basically. It fell over in the end because it wasn't sustainable for the industry. So that was what the theory was behind it. And now I guess the concern is, there's no actual new formal group set up to replace it. That's what the government has proposed, that they have a smaller working group with the pastoral sector, and they talk about what the opportunities are going forward. So that's what the government has proposed. There's nothing formal in place there yet. And obviously, all of those pastoral sector groups we're working with and talking to government anyway. So that's going to happen regardless. But I think the issue is that our first priority is we need to focus on the review of the methane reduction targets. We need to make sure that the latest scientific understanding around the impact and the way that methane operates in the atmosphere is addressed in that assessment, and that hopefully we get a really good outcome in terms of identifying what is a warming target for New Zealand. And if we find that that target is aligns with that kind of incremental gain that we can make from good farm management practices, then there's no need for an additional legislative pricing mechanism. And so that would be the ideal outcome that we would be looking for, that we would see that a much more realistic target based on warming outcomes is set, and that the progress that the industry has made aligns with that target and continues to work towards that target, meeting the demands and expectations of consumers who we're selling our products to, and there's no need for government legislative targets. So that would be the ideal outcome that we'd be looking for.
Okay, lastly, the Agriculture Minister, Todd McClay, has cited the failure of He Waka Eka Noa. He says leading to a compromise consensus and confidence, a hit on confidence in rural New Zealand, and that the new approach aims to restore that confidence. Do you think it will?
Yeah, definitely. Look, it was a very tumultuous time. There was a diverse range of views around how fast and how hard we needed to go in terms of that pricing mechanism. And given the barrage, I guess, of other legislation that was occurring at that time, what we did see was in July 2023, the biannual farm confidence surveys that Federated Farmers does and has done for over the last decade or 15 years or so, it reached the lowest level of confidence on farm that we've seen on record. So that was middle of 2023. And it was part of then became part of the election platform that I talked about that we put together for field days last year, was working towards restoring farmer confidence. And the government has followed through on a lot of those election promises that they made in terms of repealing some of the problematic rules. There's still a long way to go, but it has definitely, just been here today at field days this year, there's a bit more positivity in the mood. And so I think farmers are feeling a little bit better about things, about where they are. And also, just knowing that particularly this emissions pricing is off the table for now. As I've just explained, there's still a bit of work to go. There's still a bit of water to go under the bridge in terms of making sure that we don't still end up with a pricing mechanism by 2030. But at the moment, confidence is starting to creep back. So that's good to see.
Mark Hooper, Federated Farmers Board Member, thanks for coming on RCR. Enjoy the field days.
Will do. Thank you very much.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.